Hey, hi, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Gaze Into the Blue Light podcast. I'm your host, Steve.
I'm Nikki.
And we're here in snowy Philadelphia.
The Nor'easter.
Snow day.
Yep, snow day, except we didn't have to work, so.
Thanks a lot, old man winter.
Yep.
We've got a good episode today. It's exciting. It's thrilling. It's new.
Informative.
It's going to be informative. It's going to be entertaining. It's going to be the best of everything. Pure ambrosia for the ears.
Oh,
Ambrosia is my word of the day.
very nice.
I've used it twice. Or did I use that last night?
No, you've used it this morning.
I use it this morning?
About
Oh, the fruit salad. Yeah.
the fruit salad.
Okay, so we've got a couple good books to talk about, a couple shows to talk about, and let's get started. All right, we're here and we're ready to do this and we're ready to record, but first, because it's a snow day,
Snow day.
that means we have to celebrate.
We are
And if we're
celebrating.
celebrating, that means I'm going to drink a beverage.
Let's drink a beverage.
Introduce us to our beverage.
We are going to share a
Ah, good luck with that.
Le Cochon Noir. It's a Schwarz beer. Dark Lurklager. I'm
Jerk.
just kidding. It's lager. Sterling Pig Brewery. Where are
What
they
do
from?
you think based on the label, what do you think Le Cochon Noir means?
It's a pig, so the pig that's black?
Probably the black pig.
Yeah. I mean, I think. The brew, formerly known as Pata Negra, Sterling Pig's Le Cochon Noir Schwarz beer is bold and robust.
Oh.
A medley of roasted malts. This font is really hard to read. Gives this dark lager a flavor profile of chocolate and subtle notes of coffee. Sounds
Yum,
delicious.
I like Schwarz
The
beer.
label is very cute. I like Schwarz beers also. I think the first time I had a Schwarz beer was at what's that bar on South Street that we like? What's like a German restaurant and
Oh,
bar?
yeah.
Hold on. First one to find it is the winner.
Come on, brain.
Dang, come on, brain.
What is
Hold
that
on.
place?
Braunschmidt's Schmitz.
Yeah, Brauschmidt's
Oh
on South
man.
Street in Philadelphia. It's good.
We haven't really been back there. That used to be, I mean, we don't live in South Philly anymore, but when we lived here before, that was one of our favorite spots because it was on South Street and they have like the best German beer selection ever. Amazing sausages, Spätzle, really good food. We used to go there like a lot and they also have those like huge boots of beer. That's what we did when we were leaving Philly. Remember the first time when we were getting ready to leave, we went there and we got those boots of beer with friends.
I didn't get a boot.
I thought we all got boots.
I don't remember having a
Or
boot.
was that on New Year's Eve?
That was new.
New Year's Eve, did we get boots? There was a time when we got boots. I do remember this.
Well, it must have been a great boot because I do not remember it.
Oh, well, it happened. I'll try to find photographic evidence of this.
The style of this beer is Schwarz beer.
Schwarz
Which is
beer.
like it's dark and black and malty, but it's light. It's like a
Yeah.
light, easy drinking kind of
Yeah.
lager.
It's a kind of a little bit of a mind bender
So
because
if
you
you
look
want.
at it and you're like, oh, that's going to be so heavy and like thick and syrupy, but it's not. It's
It's the
very light.
perfect combination of light and dark.
Beautiful beer.
Shall we taste?
Yes, let's taste.
To the
Let's
snow.
toast to the snow. Oh yeah, that's nice. Our first Nor'easter back.
Yeah, that's roasty toasty,
I
but
like
nice
that.
and light on the palate.
It's perfect. It's a perfect beer.
Where is Sterling Pig?
I don't know. know. That's what I was trying to find. Let me.
Oh, here it is. Oh. Media PA. Media PA. Media Pennsylvania. I'm guessing that's over.
Media?
Media.
Oh, that's close to here. That's really close. It's like the suburbs.
Well,
burbs.
If you're looking for a tasty beer from the Philadelphia area, Le Cochon Noir Schwarz beer from Sterling Pig is
delicious.
Delicious. You should try a Schwarz beer.
Yeah. Very yummy. If you haven't tried a Schwarz beer, give them a try. Preferably in a boot or like one of those giant mugs.
A giant mug. If you're out and you really want to impress the people at your table, order it.
Order a Schwarz beer.
I'll have a Schwarz beer. And everyone will
be like, oh, wow, what's that? Oh,
you really know your stuff.
Oh, you're smart.
Are you German?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yep. All
right. Well. So we have a delicious beer. We have snow outside. We have Scrappy parked right next to the microphone.
He's covered up.
Oh, we didn't give him his drugs.
No.
No, he might.
He had a walk in the snow, so I think he's feeling pretty tired. He got really cold and he got a little limpy from the snow.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to buy him some booties.
Yeah, I saw another dog with booties. Okay, well, since we're stuck inside.
Why not record a podcast?
Why not record a pod? Mm-hmm. Do you want to... So I've got a book and a show.
I've got a book.
Okay.
And a show.
Oh, wow.
And... Yeah, we're good.
Okay, that's everything.
Let's do it.
That's all we need.
Mm-hmm. You want to go first?
Do you want to go first?
Wow. I don't know. Should we rock, paper, scissors for it?
No, I'll just go first.
Okay.
I'll take the reins.
Go ahead.
The reins down in Africa. Get it?
We had a nice karaoke time last night.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
Okay, book and show. Now, this book and show is
a book-show combo.
Okay. I need a sound effect for that.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah. I'm going to download an app for making sound effects. Book-show combo. I'm not going to do that right now. I'm going to do that for the next episode.
Yeah.
Whoop, 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 whoop. We could get a sound effect for people laughing, a crowd laughing.
Oh, yeah.
When I make my jokes.
Yes. That's a great one.
Yeah.
And like one that's like, oh, or something. Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be fun.
Okay. Yeah. That'll be good.
Book show combo.
What is it?
The name is Station 11. Show's on HBO Max.
I've watched the show with you so far.
Book is on books.
.com.
Wherever your local bookseller.
Because if you don't shop local, you're a jerk.
Yeah, ew.
Gross.
I actually checked this one out from my local library.
Oh, cute.
Using the Libby app.
Aw, that's cute.
Yeah. And I read it on my Kindle that has blue light. You know, and I feel kind of bad sometimes when it's late. I turn on blue light blocker.
Oh,
you can turn it down.
Yeah.
And I feel kind of bad.
Because you're like, oh, I'm not doing the whole blue light thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's Gaze Into the Blue Light podcast. And here I am lowering the blue light.
But I never read books with a blue light. So.
Well, I feel like a bit of a hypocrite.
Yeah.
I should have everything on maximum blue light.
And like never sleep.
Yeah. See if I can burn.
Burn your retinas out.
I think my new glasses also have like a. Blue light
filter?
Some kind of something
for
screens.
I just ordered some fashion glasses that are like blue light filtering because I desperately want to wear glasses, but I have perfect vision.
Well, we're a bunch of hypocrites. Hypocrites. Yep. The book. I don't have any information on it.
Wow.
I came.
Thanks for being unprepared.
Woefully unprepared. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, short intermission.
Doo. Let me find.
Man,
we really need sound effects.
Yeah.
That
was probably too much of Jeopardy to sing online without having the rights to it.
All right, I found it.
Okay.
Station 11, a novel by Emily St. John Mandel.
Wow, that's a long name. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'll
write that in my review.
Wow, could you have a shorter name?
Author's name was a bit long.
Otherwise, 4 stars.
So speaking of stars on Goodreads, it has 4.06 stars on Goodreads, which is a good score.
You think that's a good score?
Yeah. I mean, five is the maximum.
So can I just say I stopped rating books on Goodreads? I don't know. I just was like, who cares? I'm done doing that. I just read them and then mark them like as done because I was like, this is annoying. I don't really see the point of it.
But yeah, I would say generally I don't do that because if a book isn't good, I just stop reading it. Mm. Like if I don't like a book, I don't push.
Oh, that's nice.
I don't push.
See, I punish myself and finish it even if I don't like it. I think I've only abandoned a very short number of books.
Yeah, I don't stick with books I don't like. Although I did stick with a book that I didn't like for
book club. Yeah, you kind of have to.
I will push through for a book club book because I want to be able to talk about it with people.
Like what you didn't like.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Anyway,
go on.
Because sometimes with book clubs, I don't like the book. And then when I talk about it with people, then I'm kind of like, huh, I didn't think about it that way.
Oh.
It actually makes sense. And then I kind of, my opinion.
You have like a better appreciation for it.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that.
Because I'm generally not the sharpest tool in the shed.
What?
I know.
It's not true.
Pretty amazing.
It's not true.
But it's not necessarily that I'm not smart. It's that like everyone takes something different away from books and certain things jump out at them and other things don't because everyone has background experiences and knowledge.
Yeah.
Like the one book we read for our workbook club was Mexican Gothic.
Oh yeah, I remember you reading
it. Yeah, it was really good. And then whenever we met for our book club, we talked about it, and some of the other book club members had like a whole different experience with the book
because they
caught all these allusions, references to other horror stories and horror movies that I had never read or seen. And so there were like these little references in the book that she was making that I was like,
that's so interesting,
clueless about. But then when they told me about them, I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Can I ask you a quick question before you jump in?
So
how long do you typically stay with a book that you don't like before you're like, no, I'm done? Like, how far in do you go?
I usually don't make it very far because my strategy when it's time to read a new book is to get 4 or 5 like from the library or from my shelves, various stacks of books that I at one time purchased but have never read.
Mm-hmm.
And then I make a stack.
Okay.
And then I go through and I read the first 10 pages of the first chapter or whatever.
Of each one.
Mm-hmm. And then I pick one.
Okay. Yeah.
And then if I'm at the library, I'll just return the other ones.
Right.
That I don't like.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. But have you ever found like, so maybe it's not that you don't like them, but maybe it's just not the right time in your life for that particular book, because I've definitely had that before where I started to read something and I was like, oh, don't like it. But then I've gone back to it years later and I'm like, oh, this is really good because it just kind of speaks to me like at that time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's why in our staff book club this time, we decided to go back and pick a book from high school.
And
like a high school required reading book.
Oh, cute.
And
what did you pick?
We picked Brave New World by Aldous Huxley.
I don't recall that.
So, yeah, some people, like I read it in high school, I remember.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Or it was on the list of books that, like, I'm pretty sure I read it, but I don't recall anything.
Yeah, I don't from remember
it.
That.
And then there are a couple of people that read it in high school too. And then there are a couple of people that had never read it in high school.
Okay.
They read other
so, yeah,
books.
Good. Cool.
The one guy in the in our book club had to read Dune.
In high school?
I it was required to read Dune. The book is massive.
Wait, but how old is he? He must be really young. Because didn't that book like just come out?
No, the a
movie,
the movie just came out.
When did the book come out originally?
I don't know. Maybe late 70s, early
80s. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a big book, though, to have to read.
It's a very ambitious high school required reading.
That's weird.
Sheesh.
Where did he go to school?
Oh, no. Some kind of prep
some
school.
Kind of liberal bullshit school.
Liberal bullshit school.
Anyway.
Liberal. Bullshit school. Hey, I list this podcast as clean, no explicit language.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sorry. Well, maybe so can you change it?
There's probably people that are like, come on, children, let's listen to a
this wholesome podcast.
This wholesome podcast.
Drink beer and curse.
Daddy, do I go to a bullshit school? All right, let's get
focused.
I'm pretty
sure bullshit is like not a bad word. Like, you can say that on, like, CBS or something.
Can you say bullshit?
Yeah.
On regular TV?
Sure.
Probably.
Yep. Definitely.
The did you see the article in, I don't know where it was, but there's a school district in Tennessee that banned the very famous award-winning graphic novel Mouse, M-A-U-S.
Why?
Because it says goddamn.
Oh.
And there are
religious.
There are scenes of nudity.
Oh.
But it's a book about the Holocaust.
Oh.
One. And two, the Jewish people are mice and the Germans or Nazis are cats. So there isn't any actual human nudity in it.
Oh, it's like animal.
And
animals.
It's like
our animals are always nude, by the way. Like, hello, secret, big secret here. Animals are always nude.
It's actually one of the most ridiculous.
Oh my god!
Bannings that I can ever think of, and those people ought to be ashamed
people
of themselves.
People in the South can do some special things.
And I know people that live in Tennessee. What is wrong with you?
What's up with you guys? Come on.
No, way off track here. Banning Mouse. That's terrible. Man, what? How do you sleep at night?
Oh, no.
It's like it's a book about people's experience with the Holocaust.
Right.
And it's pictures.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not,
it's just ridiculous.
Hand-drawn, illustrated. It's horrible. Someone there laid down that night after that and was like, yes.
I really...
What the hell? That's so ridiculous to me. I just don't... All right. Anyway.
Don't get your blood pressure
don't...
up.
You know what the doctor said.
Yeah.
Okay. Station 11. The book.
Okay.
Now, I came upon this book. Discovered this book because I watched the trailer for the show Station 11.
Oh, gotcha.
And it seemed interesting. And then I was kind of reading about it and I saw that it was originally a book. So I wanted to read the book first before I watched the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I found this book from my local library, Station 11, and I enjoyed the book. I read it pretty quickly. It reads pretty fast. But the... overall general thing about Station 11 is, and it might be a little triggering at the beginning, show and book, because a pandemic flu hits the world.
Yeah.
And
wow.
At first I was reading it and I was like, well, I don't know if I'm ready, like mentally ready to do this yet. But that's the kicks off everything.
Yeah.
The show or the book and the show are not necessarily about the pandemic.
Right. It's like the after times.
The afterworld of that. But it hits really fast and it's like kills 99.9% of the population in the world. the main characters don't necessarily know that.
Right.
But there's some what I really liked about the book was so it's post-apocalyptic, right? Like that's an apocalyptic event. And it does a good job of kind of like describing like what it would be like with no electricity, no phones, no supermarkets, whatever. And there's some really fun little chapters where she just kind of says like, just kind of describing the world that the people live in, and what the things that they don't have anymore.
Yeah.
Like, and so because the pandemic, apocalypse happens at the beginning, one of the main characters is a little girl. And so like, she has very few memories as the story moves forward. She, you know, is in her mid-20s, late 20s as the story goes on. And she can't really remember a lot of things, but you know, she remembers some. She was like 6 or 7 or something at the beginning. But there are people that are born after this pandemic happened. So they have like a whole other experience of living in a world where they never knew about Uber or whatever.
Right.
You know, like Uber Eats. That was something that was never their experience.
Wow.
But then there are people that, you know, they survived and they were, you know, in their 30s or whatever. And so they have a full memory of what life was like. Anyway, I'll just talk about the show and the book at the same time, because there's,
you can like make comparisons,
because the show, which I think we've only watched 4 or so of the episodes.
Not
all the way through the season, but,
cause we have like 100 things that we're watching right now.
True. We'll get through it because it's only 1 season.
Oh, it is.
I think so. Right.
Is it going to be more though? Or it's just one so far.
I don't know. I have my connections in Hollywood been ignoring my calls lately.
They didn't accept your invite to come on the podcast and talk about Station 11.
Ooh. Yeah. That brunch. Oh,
didn't go well. Sorry.
Haven't gotten a call back since then.
Yikes.
Anyway, the show does a cool job of depicting the world. Scrappy just breathed.
Scrappy's annoyed.
Directly into the microphone. Of depicting a world, a post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah. So I thought it did a really good job.
There are a few other books out there.
Huh.
Well, not a few other. A lot of other post-apocalyptic genre books.
Right.
And this one was refreshing in that, like, it's a hopeful, a fairly healthy.
Yeah, seems like it.
Safe-ish post-apocalyptic landscape and existence.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. I mean, there do come to be some scary elements.
Sure.
I don't know about scary. Threatening elements.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a prophet that and like a cult leader cult that sort of start forming and causing some trouble. But for the most part, everything is still like going on. It was basically just like people just, you know, they were gone.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know how to describe it, but there's not a lot that's not really, really scary and horrible.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it.
It made me think of Bird Box.
Yeah.
Do you remember we?
Yeah, we watched that.
We watched that. I also read that book. So Bird Box was a book before the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I would recommend the book. It was really good. But it's kind of like, you know, small groups of people, like knowing having to come to grips with the fact that like no one's around but them.
Right.
And how they survive. But Bird Box is all like focused in the immediate.
Yeah. In the what present.
Happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like right away. This book is focused far out into the future.
Yeah. Right. Like 20 years after the pandemic.
Yeah. So all the scary stuff is over.
Yeah.
And these people have survived.
Right.
So the main character travels around with a group called the Traveling Symphony, and they're a group of people that have slowly kind of banded together, and they play instruments and they put on Shakespeare plays.
I love it.
And they travel from place to place. And so it's a cool, I like how that's kind of a connection back to how theater and music and entertainment was performed a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
troops came traveling through
yeah.
and they did their thing and then they packed up and they went on to the next place. Mm-hmm. And that's how a lot of Shakespeare was done, I think. And so it's kind of like refreshing to have it be like, oh, we got iPhones and computers and internet and everything. And then everything was gone. And then what takes its place, but like the classic version of
yeah
what we were doing a long time ago. Anyway, I think the show does a really cool job of depicting this world. I like the costumes.
Yeah.
Like right away, the clothes are like,
weird.
This is what you would be wearing if you had to steal your clothes from random people's houses.
Right.
This is
completely random
what you would wear. And would you really give a shit about like your outfit?
No.
Or whatever.
Like in that one scene, she's wearing like a one piece bathing suit and a skirt and some kind of like hiking boots.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, oh. Okay.
You would really just dress for whatever worked for you that day and the weather and what you were doing.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you wouldn't and you couldn't necessarily have like big closets full of clothes and whatever
right.
because that wouldn't really make much sense when you're trying to survive. And there's kind of small communities, pockets that build up and people living in motels, you know, like a motel alongside of the highway.
Oh, right.
And people just kind of go in and make those places
that's
their
like
homes.
Their community now.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I thought it was cool. I liked the vision of it.
Yeah.
The book was good. I think at this point, I haven't watched all the episodes, but I think I like the show a little bit better.
Yeah.
But I think
okay.
they pair well together, but I think visually the show just shows what's going on a little bit more and the story isn't so complicated that you're missing a whole bunch of stuff. Some
right.
things are a little bit more, a little rearranged, but.
I like how the show, it'll have these flashes of like urban scenes where like buildings and cities have just been like completely overrun by like growth, like foliage,
yeah.
trees, ivy, like just, and it's just like completely overgrown.
Yeah.
Those scenes are pretty powerful. Like
yeah.
how quickly that can happen once, you know, if civilization's gone from there and like nobody's taking care of it.
Yeah. It does a good job of describing what the world looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And
so interesting.
The book was a little bit more concentrated on, you know, the dialogue between the characters and things like that. And I don't know. I think the show does it a little bit better. But
you remember that scene that I really liked and my idea, like when they're the girl and that guy who like kind of takes her in and they're at the grocery store and he like knows, he like secretly knows.
Mm-hmm.
That the flu or whatever is going to happen. And so like they go to the grocery store and just get like 10 carts, like full of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, that would be an interesting game show, like Supermarket Sweep. But like, okay, this is the disaster. You have 10 minutes to shop. Go.
Yeah.
But it was fun to watch them like going around and he was at kind of like, well, what do you want? Like, do you want some of this? Like Yoo-hoo or whatever, and she was just kind of like, I'm not allowed to have that or whatever, and he's just sort of like, well, probably wants to be like, who cares, just drink whatever you want, but
yeah,
like he
yeah.
can't really like say that because he's gonna scare her. But
yeah, that's a good scene. It's a powerful scene.
All right, what are your top five things that you would buy if it was like, oh, we're gonna be shut in for like who knows how long starting tomorrow, shop.
can I have some time to think?
Yeah.
Let's take a break.
Okay.
I'll think about it.
Okay.
And we'll do the list when we come back.
Ooh, fun. Okay.
You got to give them a cliffhanger, you know?
Cliffhanger. We'll be back to talk about our lists.
All right, we're back after paying the bills.
Back.
Think we got a dollar? Dollar yet?
No. No, we don't.
If this gets 8 listens, we could get a dollar.
Oh my God, guys.
Yeah.
That's big.
It's big.
That is big time.
$1 off that ad I recorded.
What are you going to do with that money? Ago.
Oh, what could I do with it?
Oh my God, what could I do with a dollar?
A whole dollar. All right, what's on your list? Your shopping list?
Okay, so we're going to do 5 things. I guess I was going to clarify. Is it like, so we're just saying you're going into like a grocery store. So it can be food or other items, like household items. Are we also saying booze is included in that?
We're saying it's a grocery store that does sell wine and liquor. Oh, they do exist, just not in Pennsylvania.
Right. No, they exist in Pennsylvania, but you just can't like do it at the same checkout. Like when I go to Whole Foods and there's wine. Oh, not liquor. They sell wine and beer.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have to check out separate. So like go here, buy wine, then go over here, buy your food, check out separate.
Yes.
It's Which so weird.
Is absurdity. It doesn't
make any sense.
Pure.
It's just so strange.
Absurdity.
Yeah, it's weird. Okay, so we'll pretend like in the show, because he was buying like handles of like, whiskey.
They're in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
In the show.
So oh my God. So do you remember? Okay, now that you said that, when we visited friends in Chicago, they sold liquor at like a CVS. You remember this?
I don't recall.
Yeah, I remember being like, what? This is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Well.
Yeah.
So.
Remember, one other thing. Remember in Florida, they sold beer and wine at the Dollar General near where we were staying.
That was pretty great.
That's crazy. I mean, they do a lot of crazy things in Florida, so that's fine.
Right.
Anyway, you go.
Well, we'll say it's a grocery store in Chicago, then.
Okay, it's a grocery store in Chicago. They sell everything.
It's your apocalypse shopping list?
Yeah, what are going to be, like, the top 5 things where you're like, I have to have this. I can't leave here without this.
Let's see. I would say I get 5 items.
Yeah, 5 items. Okay, one other clarification point. Are these just food and drink items, or are they also...
What you can buy at a grocery store.
Okay, yeah.
And there are some household items you could buy
at a grocery
store.
Ooh, 5 things.
That's tough.
I know.
Bourbon.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. I like how that was number one thing.
A large handle, largest you can buy. Mm-hmm.
One item.
What else? There's no electricity.
This doesn't mean you only can have 5 items, but these are your top 5.
Oh, top 5. Oh, that changes things.
Yeah, it doesn't mean they're the only 5. I mean, we're not gonna like torture these people with listening to me name off like 579 things. Just like top 5.
Yeah, top 5. Yeah. All right.
Does that make more sense?
That makes more sense.
Okay.
Like, I'm not going to only survive on these things.
No. But they're just, like, the things that come to your mind as being the most important 5 things.
I would say, do I have certain items already?
No.
Like, I have, like, a camp stove I could cook things on, but... All right, never mind.
We can't assume anything.
No assumptions. I guess canned. I like Chef Boyardee ravioli. So I'd get some cans of Chef Boyardee ravioli, because that's good.
When's the last time you've eaten Chef Boyardee ravioli?
I used to eat it cold right out of the can when I was in high school.
Okay. Okay, that's a deep cut. So you're going like on a nostalgia feel. You're thinking you would be feeling nostalgic.
No, it's not nostalgia. It's canned goods will last a long time, and but there's I know plenty I of other
canned goods you could have chosen.
Maybe I have more canned goods right, that I'm gonna okay, choose.
Go on.
Bourbon ravioli. I really don't know what else I would need.
Just bourbon and ravioli.
Chef Boyardee canned ravioli.
Oh my god.
I could live for a
while. You're gonna die. I was gonna say you're gonna die quickly.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I think so.
I don't know. Toilet paper, I guess.
I mean,
be good to have.
Sure.
That's three. Two other things. Things mm-hmm. that last a long time. Can you buy flashlights at
Yeah, you can buy flashlights.
You can buy flashlights at a grocery store. Probably need a flashlight. That would be useful to have.
Yeah, very useful.
Do I need to buy batteries too? Like if you buy flashlights, do you have to waste an item on batteries? Ugh.
Yeah.
That sucks. all right, I'll do that. Batteries and flashlights.
Okay, because, so you did batteries, flashlights, toilet paper, bourbon, and Chef Boyardee.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm going to leverage my flashlights and batteries into using that to go raid other houses.
Okay. All right.
For additional items, mm-hmm. because the people will be dead. What are yours?
All right, top five items. Top five items. See, I was thinking batteries initially. I was like, okay, I'm going to get batteries. But then the more I'm talking about it, I'm like, what would I need batteries for? Phone can't work off batteries. There's not a lot that can work off batteries. What else would you use? I don't know. It seems useful. But then after I thought about it, I'm like, what do I have that uses batteries? TV remote. Toothbrush.
You could put all those batteries in a sock and use it as a weapon.
Well, I wouldn't waste an item. I would just use rocks. They're free.
It's true, but you don't have any rocks in your house.
There's rocks outside.
It would take you a long time anyway. To go outside and fill a sock up with rocks. All right. Let's be honest.
Okay. No, it wouldn't. I can do it in 5 minutes.
You could right not.
Now. I can go fill a sock with rocks right now.
Could not.
And you can tie
Where
me.
Are the rocks? There are no rocks anywhere.
Plenty of rocks. There's a construction site right up on the corner. Run up there, get rocks out of the ground that they've turned up. Yes, guaranteed. Anyway, we won't torture you with this conversation. But okay, batteries. I'm scratching batteries. I'm not doing batteries.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say water. Like, I'm going to get at least, like, one jug of water or some water.
Water. That's smart.
Or water and or if they have some kind of, like, I don't know, salt tablets or something else that could be useful for purifying water somehow. Like a Brita filter. I don't know.
Oh, Brita filters. That's smart.
Who knows? Something with water and water filtration. That would be one item.
I think iodine.
Oh, okay. I was also thinking of like getting like a first aid kit.
Also smart.
I would want to get a first aid kit. And maybe some, I don't know, like medicine?
What the heck are you going to eat?
Well, that's only three things so far. Okay. Okay, food items. I mean, I want to go with something that's like non-perishable. Also something like that I don't need to cook, I don't think, because I don't know how I'm going to cook anything. Peanut butter.
Mm.
I would get a lot of peanut butter and tuna. I do love tuna.
Mm. Peanut butter and tuna.
Yeah.
See, at least I have
bourbon and Chef Boyardee.
You wouldn't get any alcohol?
I would get wine. I would get like a box of red wine.
So how many are you at now?
I'm over my limit already. I think I'm at six. Anyway.
Well, you said top ones. Yeah, like what you would get ones. Before the angry mob chased you down and killed you.
Yes. Yeah. Why were they alone in that grocery store, by the way? Everyone else was already... Because I feel like he knew about what was happening and no one else did because he told the worker to go home, like the cashier. So like where, why was it empty? Just because it was late at night?
At that point, people had already started dying, I think. But no one, I was also a little confused about like why the news spread so slow. Mm-hmm. But I think it just like hit so fast.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, not to give away too much of the story.
But... Oh, yeah. Sorry. Sorry, guys. Spoilers. We should have said at the beginning, spoiler alert.
For the first episode.
Trigger warnings.
I mean, we didn't give away a lot.
Okay, fine.
I think anything that we gave away could be seen in the trailer, probably.
Yeah, probably. All right, should we take a quick break to drug our dog since he's started to cry?
And I need to refresh my beverage.
All right, be right back. And I'm going to talk about my book and another show that we've been watching.
How fun. Back after our
we're back after our break. I thought of two more items, matches and lighters, so maybe those are like a combined item. Fire starting devices,
fire starter.
I'm a fire starter.
And as many Prodigy CDs.
Yes,
as you can,
that's why you need batteries for your Walkman.
That's right. You're
not going to carry your record collection around with you, and you don't have anywhere to plug it in.
Oh, gasp. No Spotify?
Yeah, no.
You'd have to... this is a good reason to hold on to all my old CDs.
We have no CDs.
Yeah, we don't have any.
We do have a few CDs, like ones that you made me.
You know, there are two types of people in the world.
Yes.
People that don't still have CDs and people that still have CDs.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And I do not have any CDs. I have not listened to something on a CD in as long as I can remember.
Sorry, you're currently listening to Scrappy trying to tip over his toy box.
Scrappy.
Scrappy, why do you have to ruin it?
Huh? I want to have my own broadcast.
A broadcast for dogs. Today's article, should dogs wear winter coats? Yes or no?
I would do it, but I don't want to pee on it.
I mean, they make them so that they can have a cutout where the, you know, where the business is, so they don't pee on it. Yeah. They've already thought of this.
It's true. They have already thought of this.
All right. Anyway, let me talk about my book now. So I read very quickly in like less than a week, Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey, a number one New York Times bestseller. It just came out not that long ago. I heard about it, I think on a podcast, or maybe he was on a show. I can't remember. But let me see when it came out. I don't know. I can't see when it came out. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It came out recently. It's interesting. It's quick read, you know, like just quick, fun, easy read. A lot of pictures, poems, bumper stickers, sayings. There's like, you know, handwritten parts, like pictures of his like journals. Like he kept journals for a long time. And he also kept, for a while he, drove around in like an RV with his dog, like when he was first starting to be famous. He would just like record himself talking like while he was driving.
Mm-hmm.
And so he like went back through all that stuff and wrote this book. Like he just went back through everything, stories, musings. It's very much like a book that you would write when you're like in your, I think he's like in his 50s now. When you're kind of like looking back on your life and just sort of like, what's important, what's not, like, what have I learned? Like what, you know, different experiences that really like shaped me. And So I really like it. I like it from that perspective of he kept a journal all that time, because I've definitely kept journals, but then I end up getting rid of them. I don't know why. Someone somewhere told us that, like, someone passed away and then they found all their journals, and it was like just weird and traumatizing or something. And so I was like, it would be weird for someone to like find your journals, right? And like read through them.
That would be strange. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, so I stopped saving journals after a while. But now I kind of regret it, and I wish I would have saved some of them, because it is really interesting to kind of like look back through. But he traveled a lot. I learned a lot about that. So he had a lot of different experiences where he would kind of get stuck or get in a rut, and he would go out and travel to kind of like find himself and become present. It's very like new age, like just smoked a big joint kind of a book, I guess. Like, you just imagine him smoking pot and writing this book. I mean, some of his thoughts and ideas are like pretty far out there, but I mean, that's just kind of the person that he seems to be. But there was like an interesting part that I guess I had forgotten about, because I kind of only think of him as more of like a funny dramatic actor now, but he was really like pigeonholed into rom-coms for a long time. And I forgot that, because I don't think about him like that. But so there's this interesting part where he was just like fed up. He was tired of doing rom-coms, and he was like, I'm not doing it anymore. And like, they would offer him a bunch of money, and he would be like, nope, I don't want to do it. Like, I want to do something else. And he waited and waited and waited. And then I think he finally got Dallas Buyers Club and True Detective. And those like catapulted him into a different like genre.
Oh, he was so good in
True Detective. He was so good in both of those. Oh, man. Yeah. There's another crazy part, that crazy picture of him where he like lost so much weight, like just an insane amount of weight to play his character in Dallas Buyers Club. He's playing someone who has HIV. And he, I think he went down like 50 pounds.
Wow.
It's, yeah, crazy.
So, I haven't read it, but
yeah, you
would
should.
You say it's like self-help sort of, or a memoir?
That's a great question, actually. See, I would categorize it as a memoir, but I think it's definitely different from any other memoir I've read, in that it is sort of like a self-help book in some ways. Like, it talks a lot about like finding like spirituality or God, or, you know, being really present and, you know, finding yourself, finding out who you really are kind of thing. So I think you could definitely view it as a self-help type book as well. Because he really is looking to like help people. I mean, the whole point of Green Lights is like finding these moments where, you know, something happened, like a turning point, and you were like, all right, I'm going with it. Like, okay, this is a new thing, like a new adventure. We're going to go for it. Or like something really positive happens and it just like turns things around for you. So yeah, it's good. It's a quick read. It's interesting that you asked about the self-help thing, because I think he also did release like a journal.
I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, like I think he released something that you can partner with this book that has like journaling prompts and things like that. So I think that's kind of interesting, because I think typically those types of like guided journaling or like gratitude journals are like really targeted to women. So I think this probably would appeal more to men, not to like have to put gender roles on it, but like I think historically like those types of things are targeted to women.
Yeah, if I don't regularly
keep a journal. If something's on my mind or if I have an idea or something's bothering me, I will write it out and then usually just get rid of it, because I do like to write those things out, but I would need a guided, I would need something with prompts.
You just reminded me of something that he said, which was something he said when he was journaling was he writes to remember, not to forget. Because I kind of agree with you. A lot of the times that I journal, it is to just like get something down and forget about it. And that's kind of why I did end up getting rid of some of my journals, because they were just like kind of just like bitching, complaining about stuff. It just feels very much of like, oh, I had a bad day. Blah, 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 blah.
What am I going to do with my life?
Oh, my life is so stupid.
Yeah, I think the prompts would be good for me.
Yeah, you should try it.
That's same with meditating. I need a guided. Mm-hmm. I can't just sit there. I have to have somebody helping me.
Yeah. 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 Why don't you look into it and then read the book and pair it?
I'm gonna like be so Matthew McConaughey. Oh my god,
totally love Matthew McConaughey. Listening to them talk about you know, his first role, of course, was in, or his breakout role was like Dazed and Confused. I think he did some other things, commercials, different things before that, but he ended up getting more airtime in that movie than he was originally kind of like slated for, because they just really liked his whole like, you know, vibe that he had going, and the all right thing was like, you know, there were like moments that he just like improv different lines. But
what would you say the best advice? Do you remember any advice in the book that you think you're going to put into place in your life?
I mean, probably something that I agreed with him on that I feel like you and I have put into practice, but it wasn't like nice to hear someone else say it. I mean, it's just our whole like ramble mentality. Like, I feel like he very much like, you know, affirmed that for me. So like in that, you know, when he would get stuck or just sort of like find himself just stagnant or needing inspiration or just being tired of something, I mean, he leaves. I mean, he just goes somewhere to either start over or to be inspired. And I feel like we've definitely done that, like by moving different places. If we're like, you know what, like this place just isn't working anymore, like then we leave. I mean, we don't just stay and suffer through it. And so I feel like that's good advice that he gives, of just like when it's time for change, like it's time for change and you shouldn't fight it. Like, I think sometimes people try to like fight through it, but I don't feel like you grow as much if you just stay and fight through things than if you like take chances and leaps and leave, at least for me. I mean, that's been my experience. But
and even not leaving, but just, I mean, not leaving permanently, sometimes leaving permanently, yes, but
sometimes
even just like if you're just like going somewhere else, even to like a different neighborhood or like even the other day, I like work was annoying and I just left during lunch and just took a walk.
Yeah. Just do something, you know, different. Like
30 Shake minutes. I just walked through the neighborhood around my school. I never really walked along. And like, I found this little store that was a skate shop and an art supply store.
That's so cool.
And I just walked in and like they have skateboard ramps and then some and then some art supplies and then some clothes and shoes. I mean,
that's cool.
And I just went in and looked around and then I went back and I just felt like just better.
Yeah.
After.
Yes. That is the whole idea. And you're so right. Like, it doesn't have to be this like crazy cross-country move or like I'm moving to Egypt or I don't know, whatever. Like, it doesn't have to be something so dramatic. It can just, a lot of times his things were just trips. Like he had these like, he had these two different like wet dreams that he talks about, and they're not like what you would think of classically I don't even know if I should say classically and wet dream in the same sentence. That doesn't make sense, but and that's classic not
definition.
Never mind. Anyway, so he has these two wet dreams, but they're about him floating down the river naked in like the Amazon and having these like. Well, the first one is him floating downriver naked in the Amazon and having these African tribesmen like looking over him. So then he eventually parses it out because he has the dream again, like a similar dream. And so first he really does go to the Amazon, but then he goes to the Nile because he realizes in the first dream the African tribesmen were probably from the Nile.
Wow.
I don't know. That's what I said. It's far out there. But anyway. The point being, in those instances, I mean, he kind of like woke up from the dream and was like, there has to be something in that. And I'm going to go and like figure out what it was. And he goes on these trips and has these, you know, like amazing life-changing experiences. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the whole point of it, you know, and it doesn't always have to be huge or life-changing, but like something like you said, like sometimes you just need to like mix it up and like try a new food or
drive a different way home from work or something.
Yeah, anything to just like not become so stuck in these routines, because I think when you just sort of get stuck in routines and you're just going through the motions of life, it's easy to just become really like discontent and just kind of dull and not present, you know.
Cool. I'll check
it out.
It's cool.
Yeah, you should check it out. It's a very quick read. You'll read it in like a day.
It'll be on my list for the next snow day.
All right.
If we have more.
Sounds good.
Snow day. And a Friday night pod. I don't think we've ever done a Friday
night pod. This is a Saturday night pod.
You're exactly right. Saturday night.
Anyway, last thing to talk about is the other show we've been watching. Search Party.
Search Party.
On HBO. We have been
watching Search Party.
Recommended and supported by longtime listeners, Mario and Karen, who let us be...
Well, technically Mario, I think.
Let us be their child on their HBO Max account.
Shh. Don't tell.
Oh, shit. I mean, just kidding. We are their... They actually support us, and we are their children. Like, they claim us as dependents on their taxes.
And we totally have our own HBO Max profile.
Yep. Anyway.
Big brother.
Oh, my God.
Listening in.
Yeah,
you have to be careful. This is going out to millions.
I forgot about that. Sorry. Okay. Search Party.
Good. We just finished the first season.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
You loved the season finale.
I mean, I wouldn't say love. I thought it was awesome, though. You and I had differing opinions.
I didn't like how the season
finale.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if we should do spoilers, but see, I liked it because I thought it gives a good opening for season two, and you know, they have some things that they need to like cover up now. I think they've gotten themselves into some trouble, and I kind of like that. I think it makes a good opening, but I don't know. I think what I kind of took away from it is like, you know, she got really wrapped up. The main character got really wrapped up and obsessed with this disappearance of someone that they went to college with. And I don't know. I think it kind of gave like the dark side of what can happen if you let your mind like run away with you or with things.
Yeah.
Like you can like, I think she kind of started to make things up in her head and just.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not explaining it well. It's complicated.
No, I think you are explaining it well. It's what happens when you are kind of like desperate for some kind of change, some kind of identity, mm-hmm. some kind of motivation to
mm-hmm.
keep on trying life. And then she finds something, which is to that her one, someone that she knew from college disappears.
Mm-hmm.
And so, or goes missing. And so she kind of, the main character, Dory,
Dory?
Dory, and she's maybe from Arrested Development.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
like, she kind of goes off in search and finds a lot of meaning and, I don't know, is motivated by that search, mm-hmm. and her supporting friend group helps her out with that.
Yeah.
What I like the most about it is the humor.
Yeah.
I like the comedy aspect of it. I think.
How would you describe the comedy aspect?
Her friends are my favorite part. I just think they're funny.
They're
hilarious.
I like
their interactions and getting into weird situations. And I think the reason I like that is because what I was trying to tell you yesterday that I was kind of hoping for was Bored to Death. Remember that show?
That show was so good. So, oh my God.
It's kind of similar. Mm-hmm. Like Jason Schwartzman's character is like.
Yes. Oh my God. It's so similar.
Out of a bad relationship.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what
to
do with
himself. He's trying to like reinvent himself.
And he kind of does like private detective work. And then Zach Galifianakis, Ted Danza.
Oh my God.
They're so funny.
That is so good.
And they investigate, you know, some crimes or whatever. And it's hilarious.
It is hilarious.
It's so light.
Mm-hmm.
And you know you're going to watch it and just laugh.
Yeah.
But
this one's not as light, though.
It's not as light.
I feel like it has a darker twist. And I think it has this, like, very millennial aspect to it. Right?
Yeah. So, good shows.
Very good. Do you know what I hate about Search Party? And I wonder if Mario and Karen also hate this, but the theme song just gets stuck in my head. Like the opening song.
Mm-hmm.
And then they play it sometimes.
Dun, 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 dun. Ugh, yeah.
Oh, it gets stuck in my head.
All right.
All right.
Good stuff.
Scrappy's having a panic attack, so
we're
going
to paying attention to
end
him.
It here, but we... it's been nice chatting with you and
good stuff. Saturday night, Snowpod, Green
Snow
Lights,
Pod.
Matthew McConaughey, Search Party, and we'll watch another season
HBO.
Or so and come back. Yep. We'll review Search Party a little
Station
bit more.
Station 11, the book and the show.
Station 11, the book and the show. So much good stuff.
And think about what your top five items would be if the crazy... civilization ending pandemic apocalypse happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah. And don't take any of our things because
you can't have any of my stuff.
Find you.
My tuna.
Take your tuna. All right. We'll talk soon.
All right. Bye.